If you guys can sit down, why can't I? Isn't it awesome to have summertime? I mean, to be able to just sit back a little bit, relax, less responsibility, just kind of hang out. Isn't summertime wonderful? You have times of that in your life, right? How many of you are taking vacation in the summer? I'll see your hands. Okay, quite a few of you. How many of you are off school for the summer and have no clue what you're going to do? Yeah, I saw a lot of teachers put their hands up. That's a great thing. Very nice. Isn't it wonderful to have no responsibility? To be able to just hang out and do whatever we want? You know, if you track in not just times of life, like when you're in summertime vacation, or maybe you're retired. How many of you are retired? I'd like to see your hands. A lot of you have a lot more freedom, but... thanks for nodding your head there, Dave Stiles. I appreciate that. It's really good. Time when you can just go and do the things you want to do. Some of you are not only because of time of life, but it's also your position in your family. You're not the first child. For, you know, first child is usually very responsible, but second child, that's a wonderful place. How many of you are second children in your family? Isn't it awesome to have somebody older who takes all the blame for everything? Isn't that really cool? Well, you know what? God says to us that it doesn't matter whether you're in the summer season or the winter, whether you're retired or young, doesn't matter if you're the first child, the second, or the third child, all of us are called to be responsible. Every single one of us, at any time of life, can be called on by God and is called on by God to be responsible people. Granted, He gives us times of rest, but He never takes away our responsibility. And so we're starting this series called The World Is Mine, where we acknowledge that everything is owned by God, but don't let that become, too, a reason for us to be irresponsible and lazy. Because even though we have times of rest and we can be comfortable knowing God's in charge, God has assigned to us continually responsibility that you and I are called to take. So let's take a look at this series today. I want to start by saying there is no room for irresponsibility. If we're serious about the fact that Jesus reigns and that God's redemptive mission is underway. Mouthful. Here's what it means. Jesus reigns over everything. He is supreme. And God has a purpose and a mission that is ongoing in this world. And you and I are called to be active participants of it. Not sideline spectators, but regular active athletes on the field playing out the purposes that God has for us. And that purpose is about redeeming, restoring, renewing every part of this creation for His glory. First of all, to see people come to know Jesus so that they can spend eternity with Him. But much more than that. Redeeming the world so that every part of this creation is cared for. So that authority is respected. So that ethics are upheld. So that compassion is shown to those with less. So that the neighbor across the street knows that we love and care and respect who they are as people. Responsibility is assigned to all of us. Today, I'm kicking off a series by featuring the idea of responsibility that's comes right out of God's Word. If you look in Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, we see on the Mount of Sinai where God first came to the Israelite nation and brought to them these rules of ethics and guidelines for how to live an honoring way before Him, the Ten Commandments. God said to them, before giving them the commandments, through Moses, He said, "If you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession." And now listen to the next words. "Although the whole earth is mine, although the whole earth is mine, the entire globe is God's. Although that's true, you will be my treasured possession. And you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What are priests? Priests are intermediaries. They are people who come as representatives of another. They stand in the gap between God and those that God wants us to serve. In essence, God said to Israel, you are responsible not just to camp out and have an eternity of vacation under the jurisdiction of my grace. But no, you are called to have purpose and function, to go to the nations and be for me the treasured people who will point the way to me. And Israel failed. Repeatedly the prophets came and said, why aren't you doing the very thing I assigned for you to do? I gave you responsibility to be priests for this world, this globe that is mine, to call people to me, to care for this place. And you're not doing it. And because of that, we read of exile and punishment that came their way. Fast forward into the New Testament, to the message I preached last week out of Luke chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Just a quick reminder. Jesus is telling this story about people who are assigned resources and are responsible for what they do with them. And the Lord says, who then is the wise and faithful manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant. You and I are that servant, whom the master finds doing so when he returns. It will be good for that person who doesn't just sit in the lawn chair and enjoy and relax and soak in the benefits that they have acquired for themselves. No, it will be better for that person who, after a period of rest on Sunday, gets up on Monday and asks the question of God, what can I do for you today in your world? What responsibility have you assigned to me for which I am required to then carry out in a reasonable fashion? We all want this Matthew 25 verse 21 response, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. We want to get to the end of the road and God says of us, good and faithful servant, you've been faithful with a few things, and now in eternity I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master. That's what we want. And in order to receive that, we need to see ourselves as ongoingly responsible individuals in the kingdom of God, stewarding the resources He's given us for the purposes He's called us to live out. So, we gave out this survey. And I trust you had a few minutes to at least look at it. Maybe you filled in it all the way, part of the way. This is not a scientific thing. We put this together this week in the office. It's just a sampling to give you some things to practically think about. Take home, pray over this list. God, am I being a responsible servant for you in areas of stewarding my environment, in stewarding my emotions and authority? Do you know that responsibility extends to all areas of God's kingdom? Authority and ethics and your own emotions, your time, your money, yourself. Some of these survey items you might have read and said, wow, how does that fit? What does that have to do? All of it is part of our responsibility before God. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to come back to this survey at the end of this series and do it again and see if maybe God has pricked our hearts and stimulated us in one or two or more of these areas. So fill it in. Give it some prayer and thought as we think about how to be responsible in God's world. Now, it is so easy for us to think that we can only be responsible for ourselves. And that if we look at the world around us, and today in the economic climate we're in, and with the kind of massive issues we face of enormous debt, with huge medical issues around the world of AIDS and healthcare issues, with concerns on a military basis that are far beyond, we say, what can I do? What difference can I make? And I was thinking a little bit about that as this series was being anticipated. And in April, I went to a National Honor Society, introduction for our son at Plainfield North High School. And the English teacher was giving the presentation that morning, and he said to those who were gathered, don't ever think that as a teenager, you can't make a difference in the world around you. Don't ever think that. And then he gave an illustration of a man that I took special note of. He's a 17-year-old named Daniel Bird. He lives in Waterloo, Ontario, and he won a science project for the entire province. And what he won for was coming up with a science experiment that was very successful in how to deal with something that's ruining our environment. And it's something simple that all of us use. It's plastic bags. 500 billion of these are made a year. 500 billion. And they can take up to 1,000 years to disintegrate if you just throw them in a landfill. 1,000 years. And so being a steward of the environment, you know, for us as Christians, we should say, what can we do to improve our environment by dealing with things like this? Well, this guy, Daniel Bird, 17 years old, did a study of microorganisms, and he discovered a microbe that was very effective in breaking down plastic such that they can be broken, they can break down the component parts of a plastic bag now in 3 months instead of 1,000 years. Don't ever, grads, underestimate the role that you can play in God's kingdom, in God's world. A guy named Daniel Bird made a difference. Think of the difference we can make when we do this in all areas of our life. Well, let's talk about our responsibility and what it is that drives and motivates and inspires. This is kind of the big picture look for how to address this whole series. We'll get into specific areas of stewarding abilities and resources and our family and our authority and all of those kind of things. But for today, where does the motivation for it all come from? Our responsibility is connected to 4 things. Number 1, it's connected to our identity. Who we are before God gives us our sense of responsibility. Isaiah 43:1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. It's our sense of belonging and our value as individuals uniquely made by God that gives us our sense of who we are and gives us our sense of calling. Now, this is the point in the message where a lot of people want to drift off, kind of check out, because we hear this so often. But this morning, I want to use it as a challenge. It's not to confirm your identity in Christ, to give you a sense of comfortableness and relaxation so you get warm and relaxed and not off. This is to affirm your identity so you know where your sense of responsibility comes from. Like if you're a good parent, the identity your child has, whether biologically produced in the home or whether adopted into the home, your child is responsible because they're identified with you. So we are identified with our Creator God. I was thinking about this, trying to come up with some biblical examples of each of the things I'm going to talk about. And in this category of identity, I thought about 2 people. First of all, Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the angel came to her and said, "You're going to bear the Son of God." She could have blown it off. She could have made light of it. She could have said, "I can't do it. I won't. I will not. I don't want to do it." But she said, quote, "I am the Lord's servant." Her identity as a servant of God made her, motivated her to step up and take ownership of this responsibility, even though I'm sure she was scared. Another example, totally different scenario, but King David in the Old Testament. He's bringing the Ark of the Covenant of the presence of God into Jerusalem. And as he comes in, he dances. Remember that story? He dances in front of the Ark to celebrate the coming of the Ark representing the presence of God. And then he goes home to his wife, Michal, and his wife says to him, "You made a fool of yourself." Implying you made a fool of me too. What does David say in response to that? He responds to her rather strongly and he says, "The Lord chose me to be ruler." In other words, God chose me to be in a position of authority. It's my job. My identity is as ruler of this nation. under the auspices of the kingdom of God, the God who owns the globe, put me in charge of this nation, and I will celebrate and lead the people to do so. Identity motivated responsibility. Genesis 1:26. You know where this comes from. When the men and women were created, God said, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air," and on and on. Let us make them in our image. The fact that we bear the image, the stamp of God Himself, secures our identity and our responsibility before Him. Let's move on. Our responsibility in this world is connected to the position that we've been assigned. What's the position that you and I have? Again, thinking about some biblical examples, a guy named Joseph in the Old Testament, I referred to him a few weeks ago. Joseph had a whirlwind trip through his life. He started off at the peak. He was the favored one among his brothers. Then he was thrown into a pit, left to die by his brothers who despised him and were envious. He came out of the pit and he was thrown as a slave into Egypt. He took on this high position within the home of the commanding officer. Then, because he wouldn't give in to the advances of the commander's wife, he was thrown into jail. Up, down, up, down. And then he ended up the governor of all of Egypt. You know that story. Different positions through his life that he held among people. Up and down. But through all of it, at the end of it, he said that God intended all of this for good, to bring about the saving of many souls as is happening today. He saw his position as related to his responsibility. What position do you have? As you sit here this morning, some of you are parents of newly born children. And your responsibility before God, your position as mom or dad, is to raise these kids to love, honor, serve God with all they got. Some of you raised your hands as teachers a little while ago. You're on summer break. But your responsibility and your position will take you right back into the schools that you came out of. Some of you have a position in your company. Some of you have your position within your home, within your neighborhood, within an association, within your retirement community. The position that God has assigned to you is for responsibility. I love Psalm 8, 3-8. I'm just covering some broad quotes and texts here that tell us about our responsibility. In Psalm 8, we're told that when we consider your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what is man? What are men and women that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. I like the story of the Roman centurion in the New Testament. This guy who oversaw 100 soldiers. He came to Jesus one day with one soldier for whom he was responsible and very concerned. And in his position of authority, he wanted to see what could be done. This man was desperately sick to the point of paralysis. He went to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, could you, would you heal him?" And then Jesus, offering to go with him, was stopped by the centurion. The centurion said something that I think is awesome. He said to him, "You don't need to come. Just say the word and my soldier will be healed." And then he said these words, "I myself am a man under authority." You know what that centurion realized? He was a person with position and authority, but also under authority. And that is exactly the case for you and me. We are given positions of responsibility, and we are people under authority. You are neither a cog in the wheel nor the king of the universe. Land yourself somewhere in between. You are not a cog, meaningless, superficial existence. But neither are you the king of it all. You may be the owner of your company, but in reality, you are the manager of that company because God owns it. Amen? God owns that company, not you. But neither are you a cog in the wheel. You may be the most recently hired on person at the job that you're at. That doesn't mean that you are a cog in God's eyes. In fact, you have a position of great responsibility. If you're a believer in Christ, you are there as a salt and a light and an influence for the name of Jesus right where you've been hired. All of us have a position of responsibility that ties to our position. If you're looking for a key text for this series, this might well be it. Psalm 50, verse 10 to 12, where we're told every animal of the forest is God's, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the creature of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine. There's the series title. The world is mine and everything in it. And within that world, God has assigned to you and to me identity and position, which carries with it responsibility. Okay, let's move on. With that comes authority. You've heard me say the word already. Authority, the idea that we have the permission, the calling, we have the assignment from God to oversee the things He's given to us. So Genesis 1, verse 28. When we were made, when humanity was made, God blessed them and said, "Now be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea." There's the word. Not just fill and subdue, but rule. God in essence says to us, "You walk and you rule." That's the assignment I've given to you over this earth. You have authority. Think of the story in the Old Testament. If you're an Old Testament reader, you might have heard of this guy named Amos. One of the what they call the minor prophets, a short book toward the end of the Old Testament books of the Bible. Amos was one of the most outspoken individuals speaking on God's behalf. He spoke at a time when there was immense corruption in Israel. Why? Because they weren't being priests to go around and share who God was to the nations around them. And Amos came to speak a word of authority. "Thus says the Lord," it says in the beginning of Amos. Who was this guy? He was not a trained rabbi. Amos was a shepherd and a fig grower. Yet God assigned to him the position of a prophet. And in a very real sense today, you and I as followers of Christ are given the position of being prophets, of speaking against waste, of speaking against the disrespect of authority, of speaking for the name of Christ. And we are assigned authority to speak with confidence, with clarity. You know, so often, like in this series, Walk Across the Room, we've talked about how nervous we are to go and just let people know that we're a Christian. But Jesus assigns to you and me the authority and the responsibility that comes with it to go and do what our gut tells us we're nervous to do, to just be who God has made us to be. We have authority and responsibility with it to do just that. So our responsibility is linked to our identity, it's linked to our position, it's linked to our authority, and lastly, it's linked to our calling. Linked to our calling. Every one of us has a distinct and unique calling from God. In Genesis 2, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to care for it. To do this work and to care for all that God has made. How many of you have pets? Quite a few of you have pets. God has given you that pet to take care of, right? And you do so willingly because you love it. No. Not because you love it, first of all, because God assigned you the responsibility to care for it. We used to have this, we have another dog now named Logan. We used to have a dog named Gizmo, very old, lost all of its teeth, could hardly walk anymore. We'd carry this little puppy around, not a puppy, like 17 years old, but we'd carry it around everywhere. Kind of a visual reminder that we have a calling from God attached to its responsibility to care for what God has made. Looking for some examples in the Bible, I came up with a whole slew of them. I could hardly pick one as a special feature. The Levites had the calling to take care of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Barnabas had the calling to be the son of encouragement and encourager of people around him. You had Jeremiah, who had the calling to be a weeping prophet, expressing the sadness of how Israel was living its life. You've got the story of Dorcas, or Tabitha, who had the calling to care for people who had less and to make them garments that would give them warmth and pleasure. And the one that I landed on, kind of a unique one, is the singers in the Old Testament, who were given the calling, we're told in Nehemiah, the calling to take care of the house of God, responsible for the work of God in worship and in service. The singers, like when you see the praise team up here on Sunday morning, the calling from God to take care of a part of God's kingdom in leading people to worship God. Those of you who are on the praise team or up here who play an instrument, those of you who have any kind of musical ability and use it up front here, do you know that that is part of your calling from God? And with that calling comes responsibility. Now broaden it out. What's your primary callings? Very few of us have only one. Most of us have multiple. What are some of the callings God has assigned to you? And are you living that out with responsibility? Like I said, this morning is about setting the stage for this whole series on stewarding God's world. But what you got to do if you're going to take this message, this series to heart, is number one, you got to see yourself as a steward. You just have to understand that your existence on this earth is not about hanging around till Jesus comes again to rescue you from the pain of this world. It is so much more than that. It's to live as a representative of God on this planet, this world that God fully owns, but on which you and I happen to exist here in North America, down here at the bottom of one of the lakes in Chicago. And you and I are called to be stewards of all that God has made. Do you see yourself as a steward? Or do you just see yourself as trying to do your job? Your responsibility is so much greater than just doing your work or going on vacation or raising your family. It's taking care. It's fulfilling a calling. It's living out your identity. It's taking that authority and using it. It's living out the position that God has assigned to you and to me. Which means, this are some words that are used in the QB men's group, great men's ministry here at the church. You might want to consider it for the fall. Reject passivity and accept responsibility. Refuse to be the kind of person who will use your roughly 500,000 waking hours, if you live to be 80 years old, 500,000 waking hours, refusing to use it frivolously, but with a sense of God's ownership and your management responsibility in all of it. Speaking of which, respect the owner. Respect the owner of it all. Understand that your talents, your time, your money, the abilities God's given you, they all belong to God. Back to Psalm 50, verse 12, if I were hungry, God says, I would not tell you, for the world is mine. Guess what? You're part of this world. And we belong to God. You are neither a cog in the wheel, nor are you the king of the universe. You're somewhere in between. You and I have management responsibility. And then finally, enjoy the privilege. Enjoy it. God has put us on this earth to live with a sense of adventure. I find myself more and more these days asking myself, God, what's next? What's the next thing you have in store for me? I want to understand it. I want to fulfill it. I see myself increasingly as the years go on, as our kids get a little bit older, I see myself in this position of life where I need to be asking next step questions, as I trust you do too. So maybe you want to take that green survey that you filled out and ask yourself, anything on here, anything beyond this? What is it that I should be doing next as part of a steward in your world? Because finally, when it's all been said and done, we're going to come before a God at the end of this world, and He'll say, what did you do with all that I gave you? And to use this series of quotes from an email I got way years back, I don't know how long ago. God won't ask you what kind of car you drove, but he'll ask you how many people you drove who didn't have transportation. God won't ask you about the clothes you had in your closet, but he'll ask you how many others you clothed. God won't ask you how many material possessions you had, but he will ask you if they dictated your life. He won't ask how much money you spent on yourself, but he'll ask how much you gave back to him. He won't ask how many promotions you received, but he will ask you how you promoted others. He won't ask you what you did to protect your own rights, but what you did to protect the rights of others. And finally, and most importantly of all, he won't ask whether his son loved you, but whether you lived with the conviction of loving his son. Let's stand for prayer.